continuing the shir in Likutei Moran, we're in the middle of the Torah Chof Ches and Likutei Moran Tanina, and we covered the Likutei Moran portion so far, which dealt with the difference between a Yid and Lahavdil Agoy, reflecting specifically on the distinction between Torah Shebichsav, which even the Goyim have accepted to some limited degree, versus Torah Shebal Peh, which is what distinguishes the Yid from Lahavdil Degoy. We discussed what Rabbeinu Zalat said in the Torah Likutei Moran, and now we're going to do the Halacha in Likutei Halacha, it's in Choshen Mishpot, Chelek Rishon, Hilchas Halvo, Halacha Dalid, where this entire Halacha is based on that chapter in Likutei Moran. We're going to try to go at a decent pace because of the fact that we're going to be translating Hebrew into English, you know, very clearly, hopefully. And we're going to try to cover this halacha within tonight's shir, mitzvah Shem. The law in Shulchan Aruch that Rav Nosson Zal is zeroing in on is the halacha hamalves chaveroi bishtar, goyve mimishubodin. If a Jew lends another Jew money with a written document involved, then when it comes to collecting, that document will allow him to be able to collect. If there are no liquid assets available to qualify towards satisfying the loan, he can issue a claim on real estate or things like that. Nechosim mishubodim, any real estate which was available at the time of the loan in the possession of the borrower, which the borrower subsequently sold or did whatever he did, got rid of this real estate, the lender is in a position to make a claim against that real estate as long as the loan was issued via a shtar, via written document. Avlo milval peh, but if the loan was not written down, was not presented in writing, einoi goyve mimishubodim, then the lender cannot issue a claim against any real estate that's mishubad. In other words, the fact that it was in the possession of the borrower at the time of the loan. Gam milval peh yochay lichfoer avol neged shtar einoy nemon. Also, when it comes to a loan that wasn't conducted via a written document, the borrower is able to come and deny it. As long as it's not in writing, the borrower can deny it. If it is in writing, the borrower cannot just go ahead and deny it. This is the basic halacha as presented in Choshen Mishpot. Rav Nosson Zal is going to use this plus our knowledge of this chapter in Likutei Moran that we just covered to explain this halacha very deeply, very thoroughly. Rav Nosson Zal explains, Ki Isa B'divrei Admor Zal, it's brought in Rabbeinu Zal's words, Shehal Loive Mechaveroi, a Jew who borrows money from another Jew, Hu Bechinas Meichin Dekatnus, the one that's borrowing money represents a concept of Meichin Dekatnus, a small-mindedness, a low frame of mind, a subservient frame of mind. Ki eved loive lish malve, because we have a rule that says that the borrower is enslaved to the lender. By nature, the fact that I had to come on to you to borrow something for you makes me feel subservient to, or as a servant to you. Literally, that's the wording in the Gemara. Eved loive lish malve. For Omra, Zal in the Gemara also tells us, Asoro kabin sheno yardu loilam, 10 measures of sleep came down to this world, vites notlu avodim, and 9 were taken by slaves. Slaves have taken 9/10 of sleep. Vesheino hi bechinas histalkus hamechin, and we know that sleep represents a concept of a time when the brain leaves, when the neshama leaves the person, which means the brain, the sensitivity of the brain, the awareness of the brain, the consciousness leaves. It's a loss of consciousness. That's how we describe it, sort of. Bechinas meichin dekatnus, which is a concept of meichin dekatnus. Ayin shom, look at the places in Likutei Moran where Rabbeinu Zal addresses this issue, and you'll understand our introduction. So that this is introduction number one, that whenever there is a malve and a loive, a lender and a borrower, the borrower represents a concept of meichin dekatnus. The fact that he was so poor that he had to come on to somebody else for a loan. This concept of oni is always an inyan of meichin the katnus. Ezehu oshir hasaymeach bechalkai, and simcha is meichin the gatlus. Simcha represents the greatest degree of harchovas hadas, which means the opposite of that. An oni represents a concept of meichin the katnus, this avdus, this shena, which is a histalkus hameichin, which is another term for meichin the katnus. Now Rav Nosson Zal says, "Ubishvil ze," and because of this, his hiru razal ma'oid. Our rabbis have warned in a very, very serious manner, shelo ilovais b'lo shtar, that a Jew should not borrow money from another Jew, or a Jew should not lend money to another Jew without putting it into writing. Kimavur kama maisius b'gemara, as are found many stories in the Gemara, shelo irotzo lahalvois. The lender was not willing to lend out money even to a Talmud Chacham, even on Erev Shabbos, when we're so rushed and everything, without a written document. Because of the fact that a loan represents a lack on the part of the borrower, that he's in a state of meichin de katnus, v'ze yodua, and this is known, she'ikar achizas hasidrachra, shehu hakfira, v'hasheker, v'hashikcha, hi b'chinas meichin de katnus, that the main concept of the satan being able to latch on to a person, this satan, which represents denial, falsehood, forgetfulness, all of those items are attributes which represent the satan, the other side, the sitra achra. They all correspond to a concept of meichin de katnus, a loss of consciousness or a small-mindedness that allows the person to forget, or that allows the person to deny, out and out denies a fact that's true. Shehem b'chinas dinim, this is all a concept of harsh judgment. Al kein, therefore, tzrichin li zoher moed, a person has to be very careful, shelo lahalvois b'lo shtar, not to lend out any money without aid, or not to borrow money without a written document, kidei shelo yovoi lidei kfira v'hakchoshoi shikho machma, so that it should not come, it should not chas v'shalom lead to any denial or out and out, you know, denying the whole event or forgetfulness, machma shem nechozim shom, because the klipos, because the tumah, the satan is hooked in there, behahalvo, within a loan, shehi b'chinas meichin de katnus, which automatically represents a meichin de katnus on someone's part in having to come on to the loan. Therefore, you know, there's a danger sign there. Meaning, the minute there is a loan, you're alerted to the fact that this person is in a meichin de katnus, which means that din is shayra on him. The satan has a better latch onto him than anybody else. Therefore, you know to deal with him differently than you would under completely normal, unstrained circumstances. Fialkein, and therefore, tzrichin shtar daiko. Therefore, we need a written document, v'leisagi beidim l'chud, and witnesses alone are not enough. Ki shtar mamtik b'chinas meichin de katnus, because a written document has the power, if meichin de katnus represents a concept of din, a concept of judgment, harshness, then a shtar represents that which sweetens the judgment, sweetens the harshness. Ki hashtar tzorech sheyihye nichtav kedin ukedas teiroseinu agdeisha. This shtar halvo that's written must be written according to all the laws of Safrus of the Torah. Utzrich ladakteg boy kamay b'ksivas svarim kedoshim. And you have to be as meticulous in preparing this document as you have to be when preparing a Megillah or a Sefer Torah or anything like that. Kemavur b'simen membei siv gimel, as is brought in Cheshen Mishpat in chapter 42, paragraph 3. Shetzrichim lehizboinen bevoven v'zainen. You even have to be careful in how you write the vov and zayin, that they shouldn't be any chance of a mistake, of a vav being read like a zayin or a zayin like a vav, because these two letters are similar. You have to write very neatly. V'yehachsav miyushar v'shave b'chol dvarov. And the writing has to be smooth and consistent throughout. Ki hashtar hu b'chinas teresh shebichsav. Rav Nosson Zal says, this shtar, this written document that's used to transact a loan, this written document represents the teresh shebichsav, the written Torah. It's via this document that we make all determinations of halacha between the lender and the borrower. This is hinted to in the Gemara Shamru in what they said, that a loan that's written into the Torah, in other words, the rules of loans that are spelled out in the Chumash, it's as though there were a written document prepared on it. So that if I execute a loan with somebody, and I execute it based on a principle that's written in the Chumash clearly, the Gemara says that has a status, although my loan was not executed on a piece of paper with a document, the fact that there is a clear law in the Torah determining the status of this question that comes up, that makes it have a status of milva b'shtar in a sense. So we see the clear association between this shtar and the Torah shebichsav, the written Torah. Fa'alken, and therefore, hashtar, mamtik, umavatel, b'chinas hamech nekatnus. This document that's associated with a loan is able to sweeten the mech nekatnus. Shehu b'chinas ha'halvo, which is another word for this loan. Shemishom achizas hasheker. It's only in a state of meichin dekatnus that falsehood can have an association with it. Ki teres shebichsav shu bechinas hashtar hu mesakin umamtik bechinas meichin dekatnus. The written Torah, which is in the form of this shtar within a loan, that sweetens this meichin dekatnus, this small-mindedness, this loss of consciousness. Bebechinas, as the Gemara says, bein chomesh shonim lemikra, that when a person is 5 years old, he learns chomesh. 5 years old is the earliest age that's listed there, the youngest age. That's meichin dekatnus. Now, is the mayach of a katan, what's the tikkun for it? Mikra. Ben chomesh shonim lemikra. The tikkun for the child who's at the youngest age, the smallest mayach, is chomesh. Shekisha'ot on ben chomesh shonim, when a person is relatively, when a person is conceptually 5 years old, he's a 5-year-old, shows hu b'chinas meichin dekatnus, he's in the state of meichin dekatnus, ki hu koton adayin, he's very young, u'meichin bekatnus, and his mind hasn't really become developed yet, oz tzrichin lelamdoi mikra. That's a time when the most important thing to teach him is chumash, mikra, shehu teresh shebichsav, which is the written Torah, kidei lesaken ulahamtik b'chinas hamechin dekatnus, because it's that item specifically, chumash, teresh shebichsav, that's able to sweeten and fix up this mechin dekatnus. V'chein muva b'kisvei ha'arizal, it's also brought in the kisvei ha'arizal, she teresh shebichsav nimsheches mimokoim shenimsheches. The Arizal says that Teresh Shebichsav comes from so high a mokar in heaven, so high a source in heaven, that it's able to reach as far down as the Olam Ha'asiyah, which is the lowest of the worlds. V'ze yodua, and this is a known fact, she'ikar achizas meichin dekatnus hu ba'asiyah, that the main association of this meichin dekatnus, this small-mindedness, or this harshness, this din, or this satan, the main achiz of the satan is in the olam ha'asiyah, in the lowest of the worlds, shehu tachlis hagashmius, which is the epitome of baseness, of physicalness, hainu kanal, which corresponds with what we explained earlier. So Rav Nosson Zal is establishing yesodos, foundations, on which we're going to build and grow. Each time we complete a paragraph, we're ready to move. We've established another building block in preparing this beautiful castle that he's about to present. V'alken, and therefore, Rav Nosson Zal says, milva b'shtar goyve mimishubodim. Therefore, a loan that's executed using a written document can be used to collect from real estate, committed real estate that was actually sold from the time that the loan was executed up until the time of collection, any real estate that the borrower sold is liable towards being used to resolve this loan. And specifically, we're talking about property here, real estate, which is called responsible possessions. In other words, possessions which can't run away, which can't be liquidated, you know, and just go up in thin air, that kind of thing. Not from tangible items, in other words, not from movable items. Aval milval peh, but a loan that's executed purely by word of mouth, without any written document, einoi goyvem mishubodim. With that, you cannot collect from real estate that was sold off by the buyer from the transition period, from the time that the loan was executed till the time of collection. He not collect from committed real estate, but he can't even collect from any real estate at all. Now Rav Moshe Zal explains. Watch how powerful this is. This is a yesod in Baba Kama, Baba Metzia, Baba Basra. This concept of milva peh versus milva bishtar. That the difference is that milva bishtar is goiva minachosam mishubodim mikarkois, whereas milva peh is goiva only from the metaltalin. That a loan that's executed by word of mouth, where there's no written document, there's no way that the lender can come and try to make a claim on a piece of property. Even if the property wasn't sold, or even if the property is in the possession of the borrower, as long as you don't have a written document, the only thing you can collect from is movable items. Whereas if you do have a written document, not only does that allow you to collect from real estate, from properties, but even property that's not in the possession of the borrower anymore. If you can prove that from the date that that shtar was written, that the loan took place, sometime after that, this guy sold off some properties which could be used to satisfy your loan now, you can go make a claim on those properties that were sold. This is a distinction that's listed in the Gemara. Rav Nosson Zal is going to give us a fantastic explanation. Why? Why is it like that? Rav Nosson Zal says, Ki kol davar yesh lo sheresh lamala. Every single item that takes place in this world has its origin in heaven, above. Dahainu bahat Torah. It has its origin by Hashem, or in the Torah, which means above. Shehi sheresh v'chius shel kol horetz emalaya. The Torah is the origin, the source of all existence in this world. V'sheresh. Now Rav Nosson Zal begins to explain. V'sheresh karkois o metaltalin. What is the origin of movable items versus immovable items? What is their origin within the spiritual world? Heim bebechinas teres shebechsa v'teres shebal peh. They correspond to the concept of the written Torah and the oral Torah. Kikemoi sheha'oretz hisheresh shel kol advarim sheba'olam. Just as the earth, the ground, is the source and the basis of everything in this world. Ki hakol hayomin ha'ofor, because everything begins from the earth. Ki kol ha'peros v'chol ha'begodim v'chol ha'metaltalin v'ha'chafetzim sheboilam, all fruit and all clothing and all movable items in this world, hakol hayomin ha'ofor, all of it begins from the ground. It's the ground that nourishes the plants, the trees, that the animals eat, from which we get the wool for the clothes. You know, everything originates from the ofor. As the Zohar Kodesh says, ofor mana dekula. The ofor is the yisoy, the foundation of all foundations. The afal pikein, and yet, may ha'ofor atzmoi yefsher lehenois velitoy me peroisov. From the dirt itself, try to eat a chunk of mud. Today, unfortunately, the New York Times tells us that there are morons or less offs in the world that have made a hobby or a religion, or this is their form of nutrition. They want to become more natural, and they've learned how to eat mud. Actually, this refers specifically to the darker elements of our society that are discussed there, that these people specifically are starting to learn how to eat mud, and they're classifying it. I've been shown an article related to this a few months ago. They have different classifications of mud, different levels of soil, earth, which they're learning to eat and to grow on. These beings are obviously exceptions to this rule that substantiate this rule. Every rule has to have an exception. But Rav Nosson Zal says that for normal beings, that the afal pikein may ha'ofer atzmoi ef shalahenois velotai me peroiso, shekulam ushroshimbo, kiim kishezirim, venaitenoiso, vaitam avadosa, shoiso peroiso. From the earth itself, from the ground itself, it's impossible to benefit. In other words, to get any pleasure or to taste of its fruit, where all of this taste does originate from the ground. There's no question at all that the flavor of an apple or an orange or anything like that, the flavor originates from the ground that's being used to nourish that apple orchard or the whatever it is. Kiyim kishezayrim, unless you can't get to taste that, unless kishezayrim, you plant the naitenaisa, you plant it, v'oivdeno avoidoso, and you work the ground, you plow it, and you till it, and you do all the different works that are involved in it, ad sha'oise peros, until it produces fruits. V'oz daiko royin gedula soretz umaloso, and it's then, and only then, that you get to see the value of this plot of land, what it's capable of producing. Shemegadeles peirois niflois ko'elu, that it's able to generate and produce such wondrous fruit, v'oz daiko nehenin umisangim imeno b'chol tuv ha'oretz she'etzmicha. And then, and only then, do we really get to taste the benefit of this clod of earth, this plot of land that produced, that gave forth this item, this produce that it gave forth. Rav Nosson Zal says we have an identical concept within the Torah. K'moy kein, so too exactly, hu bechinas Torah shebichsav v'Torah shebal peh. We have an identical concept by the written Torah and the oral Torah. She Torah shebichsav hi sheresh hakol. The written Torah is the basis, the source, the origin of everything. Sheresh kol hadinin v'hamitzvah shebetorah. It's the origin of all laws and commandments of the Torah. Im kol digdukeim uprotem v'anfem v'chavanoseim. And it's the source of all the details, all the minutest details that are presented in the Shulchan Aruch or the Gemara or any ancillary svarim to the Torah shebichsav, or even the kavonis, the different thoughts, Kabbalistic thoughts that are related to the performance of mitzvahs, all of that definitely originates and begins from the Torah shebichsav. Ki leko midi de la remiza by raisa. The Gemara says in Tainus very clearly that there is nothing within the Torah shebal peh that doesn't have a basis in the Torah shebichsav. And in the Gemara in Megillah, it comes out very, very clearly, homon min ha-Torah minayin, Mordechai min ha-Torah minayin. What's the reason for that? The reason is because there can't exist a line of Gemara without it having a basis within the Torah shebichsav. Otherwise, it's not Gemara, it's not Torah shebal peh. Aval afal pikein, but yet the fact remains that mi Torah shebichsav biatzma, from the written Torah, b'loy Torah shebal peh, without the oral Torah to support it, iefshar leida ulekayim shum mitzvah klal. A Jew would not know how to perform any mitzvah whatsoever. Ki mitzvahs tefillin, because for example, the mitzvah of tefillin, which is one of the most complex mitzvahs in the entire Torah, loy nemru kiyim beposik echod. In the written Torah, it takes up one sentence in the whole written Torah that discusses the whole mitzvah of tefillin. Ukshartam, the sentence ukshartam lo'isal yadecha v'hayu l'taitofa isbeinenecha. Period. That's the mitzvah of tefillin in the written Torah. Ve'ein yoidim, and we don't know from that one sentence imal kaf hayad oyalakibiris, whether it should be put in the palm, whether tefillin should be worn in the palm or on the muscle, on the biceps, as they're called. Ve'im tzrichin lohaniach ha'parshis bebatim. And we don't have any hint in the written Torah, any obvious hint telling us whether the batim have to be put, whether these parshis have to be put into boxes or not put into boxes. And on what type of material do we write this on? Is it paper? Is it parchment? Is it gold? Is it engraved in gold? All the other rules of the mitzvah of tefillin. V'chein b'chol ha-mitzvahs, and so too with all the other mitzvahs. The fact remains that in the written Torah there's very, very little describing to us how to actually perform a mitzvah. Or kemavur mizeh b'makom achar, as is explained in other places in Likutei Halachos and Likutei Maran. V'chasher ha'arichu b'zeh b'kama sifrei kedoshim, and as many of the holy sforim discuss this at length. Alkein, therefore, bevadai, most certainly, mitarish shebichsav yatzma, from the written Torah, iefshe lehiskayim. It's impossible to exist off the written Torah. Ki ein yodin lekayim shum mitzvah. From the written Torah, you don't really know how to perform any mitzvah. Rak al yedei chachomeinu hakdoshim. It's only through our holy rabbis, shechorshu, who plowed, vizoru, and planted, venotu, and planted saplings, vehitzlichu, and succeeded. Va'osu peiros, and they bore fruit. Ubararu lanu kol dinei ha-Torah, and they clarified for us all the laws of the Torah. B'chol mitzvah, mitzvah related to every mitzvah. Kifima shekiblu ish mipi ish, as they receive this heritage from one generation going back to the previous generation and back before that, at Moshe Rabbeinu Olav Hashem, dating back to Moshe Rabbeinu, ukefi hadroshes shedarshu al pi yud gimel midah shetar and reshes ben, and following the rules that were accepted, the 13 basic rules which the rabbis of the Gemara were given, by which they're permitted to darshan the written Torah, by which they're permitted to learn out, to derive new concepts and new laws from the written Torah. Shenim Solehem Ishmi Piyeshad Moshe Rabbeinu Olav Hashem, which were transmitted to them from one generation going back to the previous generation up to Moshe Rabbeinu. Shetzrichim Lidroi Shatayra Be'elu Hayud Gimel Midas. The fact that we are obligated to study the Torah using these 13 attributes, these 13 laws, principles of drush, umipihem onu choyin, and it's from the mouths of these rabbis that we live. It's not off the written Torah. The written Torah isn't enough to sustain us. It's from the mouths of these holy tzaddikim, the tanoim, amaroim, the bali shulchan aruch. They're the ones who showed us, gave us what to live off. Ki al yodom anu yodim kol dinei hamitzvos beprotius. It's through them that we get to know all the laws of the mitzvos in detail. Shono mekayimin kol yameinu, which we perform throughout our lives. Asher heim chayenu vayerech yameinu, which are our whole life. Va'al yodom kiyum kol hoylomos. And it's through these mitzvos that all the worlds are sustained, all the heavenly worlds. Nimtza. Therefore, what do we derive from this? In showing you this one-to-one correspondence between metaltalin versus between the produce that comes from the earth versus the earth itself, vis-a-vis the Torah Shebal Peh coming off the Torah Shebichsav, Nimtza, SheTorah Shebichsav im Torah Shebal Peh heim bechinas ha'oretz umalaya. That the Torah Shebichsav versus the Torah Shebal Peh is a similar concept to the earth versus the produce that comes from it. Shehem karkois umetaltalin, meaning property versus movable items. Shesharosham v'chiyusam nimshach misham. These movable items whose roots and source of nourishment obviously are the karka, the real estate, the property. The Alkein, and therefore, Iker Koyach Hashtar, the main power of a written document, is Shehu Bechinas Torah Shebichsav, which represents a concept of a written Torah, Ikroy Al Karkois Daika. Therefore, we see that the main reason why this document is prepared is to afford the lender a medium of being able to hit the property, the Karkois, in being able to get back his money for the loan. And it gives him the right to be even to be able to take back properties even from somebody who bought them from the borrower from the time that the loan was executed up until the time of collection. Because the main concept of the written Torah is a concept, it corresponds to this concept of the real estate, the property, which is karka, period. So therefore we can understand why the Gemara says that shtar is what allows you to collect from karkois, alpeh allows you to collect from metaltlin, because the concept of shtar versus alpeh is a concept, the concept of karka versus metaltlin is a concept of Torah Shebichsav versus Torah Shebalpeh, as was explained in this paragraph. Now Rav Moshe Zal explains further. V'zeh b'chinas milva b'shtar kolo yisleh. This is why the Gemara tells us that you should know. Why is it that if a loan is executed using a written document, that allows the lender to be able to steal, to grab hold of properties that were sold? I went and bought property from Shimon, and Reuven comes to me a year later and says, hey buddy, good buddy, give me that property, and you go back to Shimon and collect money. I don't care what you do, that property is mine. Why? Because I lent money to Shimon, you know, 3 years before that. He never paid me back. There was an outstanding loan from 3 years ago, never paid back. You were dumb enough to buy property from him. Tough noogies on you. I get the property. The question, and that can only be done if the loan was executed on paper, bishtar. Whereas if it was done al peh, you can't do this. Why? The Gemara says, because milva bishtar, kola islay. A written document, a loan that was put into writing, is something that people know about. People find out about it. And if people find out about it, then whenever you're going to buy real estate from somebody, you're supposed to do some preliminary investigation to see, does this guy have any outstanding debits? Now, which debits are you required to investigate? Those that were committed to writing. Because we say that those, you're in a position to find out. Because once it was put on paper, then there's two witnesses who know about it. And once it's a written document, people find out about it. It has a call. People hear about it. They talk about it. Whereas until it's committed to writing, I'm not responsible when I go out and buy property to worry what this nut did in his bedroom, you know, and lending, you know, and selling and buying and lending and wheeling and dealing. I'm not responsible to do that much of an investigation when I go buy real estate, when I go buy property from him. Rav Moshe Zal says, "V'zeh b'chinas milva b'shtar kol yisleh." Why? Ki sheirish hashtar mibchinas teresh shebichsav kanal. We just explained that the mokor that a shtar originates from, shtar corresponds to the written Torah. When Hashem presented the written Torah to the Jews, how is it presented? With a 30 billion piece band, you know, with a lot, an awful lot of noise. Shenitna, that's the Bechina Teresh Bechsav, Shenitna Bekoilei Subrokim. The Teresh Bechsav, the Chumash tells us, was given with a lot of action, with a lot of thunder and lightning, a lot of noise. So we see that Shtar, which corresponds to Torah Shebichsav meant a lot of noise. There was a lot of noise involved. V'hakoil bi'atzmoi hu bechinas haksav. Rabbi Nizal says you should know that this term koil, this term noise, itself is a concept of writing. Bechinas, as the Pasuk says, koil Hashem chitzev lahavoyseish, that the voice of Hashem wrote, it inscribed, it made an inscription in fire. Shehoyo hakoil nichtav al aluchos eishchor al gabi eishlovenu, k'mo shomer Hazal. The Gemara says that kaviyochol Hashem's voice was like a fire that etched out into the luchos. The luchos were a background of white fire into which was etched out writing in black fire. You know, the words of Hashem manifested themselves in a form of a black fire that went on top of a white background of white fire. That's what the luchos were, in essence. So Rabbi Nizal says, so we see that the koil corresponds to this ksiva. The ksav is koil, the koil is ksav. So therefore, the shtar has a koil. The milva bishtar has a koil. Ki ikar ha-koilois hayu bebechinas teresh shebichsav. The main noise was related to the teresh shebichsav. Ki ha-koil hu ha-ksav kanal. Because koil is ksav, as we just said. Avol teresh shebalpeh, but the oral Torah, afal pi shenitne oz gamkein, although we know and we believe be'emuna shlema, that the oral Torah was also transmitted to Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai, no ifs, ands, or buts, no question about it whatsoever. כי השם יזבורך הרי עוז למישה אפילו מה שתלמיד ווסיק עושה לחדש. The Medrash Rabba tells us very clearly on the first pasuk of the Aseres Hadibros, the introductory pasuk, Vayidaber Elokim es kol hadvorim ho'el aleimor. The pasuk begins, and the Medrash Rabba says, why does it say es kol hadvorim ho'el aleimor? Why doesn't it say Vayidaber Elokim es hadvorim ho'el aleimor? The Medrash says, from here we learn out that anything that any rabbi up until the coming of Moshiach would ever come up with in Torah was all transmitted to Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai by Hashem. It was all given over on Har Sinai to Moshe Rabbeinu by Hashem. Ki zehu hachilek shebein Torah shebichsav leTorah shebal peh. Rabbi Moshe Zal says, this is the distinction, the difference between the written Torah and the oral Torah. SheTorah shebal peh hu bechinas soid. The oral Torah is a concept of a secret. It's something that's meant to be kept secret. Umishpotim bal yedo'um. There exists a branch of Torah that's bal yedo'um, which the goyim are not supposed to know about. It's not supposed to be revealed to them. She'ein ha'umay sa'olam yoydem imenu. The nations of the world don't get to know about it. Avol Torah shebichsav, whereas the written Torah, nitna befarhesya. It was publicized. Hashem went public. The Gemara says that the Torah was given on Har Sinai in all 70 languages. You know, Hashem went very big. There was no question that they heard it loud and clear, and it was presented in a language where they should be able to understand it. To understand what? The written Torah, not the oral Torah. The written Torah was given out in the open, and it was committed to writing for all to be able to visualize, for all to be able to see. Therefore, the nations of the world also know of a concept of a written Torah, an Old Testament, as they call it. And they study it. This is the main difference between the nations of the world versus the Jewish nation. And as is explained in Likutei Moran Tanino in chapter 28, that's where Rabbeinu Zal is basing this halacha on the fact that Rabbeinu Zal shows there clearly that the distinction between the Jews versus Lahavdol the Goyim is in Torah Shebichsav versus Torah Shebal Peh. Period. Next.
How does it follow then, like now Torah Shebal Peh is also written, so what prevents Goyim from having access to
that? The answer is that although it was committed to writing, the fact that it wasn't committed to writing up front by Hashem in a manner where it really was public in all 70 languages, like for all the goyim to get to know, the fact that that wasn't done, even when it did have to be committed to writing because of an emergency that came up within the Am Yisrael, within Bnei Yisrael, it certainly was in no way publicized to the extent that the other one was. So that although, Rachmanu Litzlan, there are some goyim that are aware of the Torah Shebal Peh, that know some of it, that are reading it, you know, in the Vatican, these other places, Yimach Shemom, you know, where there is this stuff going on, but still there's no question at all that there's no comparison between their achiza in the Torah Shebichsav versus their achiza in the Torah Shebal Peh. The Torah Shebal Peh, although it was committed to writing, we still call it Torah Shebal Peh, no question, and it still is Torah Shebal Peh. It still is very, very difficult to get into. It's not as obvious and as out in the open for you as the written Torah.
It would also seem to follow from here that even though it's a committed a large part of Torah Shebal Peh to writing, that person really wants to get it right, he still has to follow this chain of me.
Proof to what you're saying is that if you look at what Rabbi Zalois used to call the choicest section of Shas, which is Pirkei Avos, what's the first mission in Pirkei Avos? It's giving you the introduction to Torah Shebal Peh. You want to know how the Torah Shebal Peh is to be studied? Moshe kibel Torah Mesihai u'mesorah li'Yeshua v'Yeshua. What was Mesorah li'Yeshua? That's the Torah Shebal Peh, which was nitno b'mesira, you understand? Was given over from rabbi to student private. That's not the part that was written, that was put in the library for everybody to have. That's the Perush Baal Peh specifically. No question about it. Now, Rav Nosson Zal goes on to say, paragraph Dalid, V'hinei Mavur Sham, it's explained over there in that chapter in the Kutimran, Shemi She'edeya Lahavchin Lahakir Bein HaTayros, that a person who's capable of making a differentiation between the different levels of Torah, Eza Nitna Lichtoiv, Eza Lein Nitna Lichtoiv, which parts of Torah are permitted to be written down, which parts aren't permitted to be written down, such a person would be able to distinguish and pick out a Jew from among a group which would include non-Jews versus Lahavdil Jews. Even if you had one Jew among many different nations where it would seem very hard to pick them out, different nationalities and everything, he would definitely be able to, one who's capable of distinguishing between which Torah should be written, which shouldn't, is the one who can distinguish between Jew and Lahavdil Goy. Rabbi Nisal explained over there, ki ikra hevdel shebein Yisrael umayis hu b'chinas mashleinit n'lichtoiv. The main difference between the Jews and Lahavdil, the other nations, is in that which was not permitted to be written down. Bechinas Torah Shebal Peh, the oral Torah, k'moy d'isa, as is written, shebishvil zeh nitna Torah Shebal Peh, that's why Hashem gave a Torah Shebal Peh bichlal. You want to know why Hashem made a section of the Torah called Torah Shebal Peh? Why? Machmashet sofo, because Hashem foresaw sheyihiyu Yisrael begolos, that there's going to come a time when the Jews are going to be in exile, they're going to be mixed among the nations of the world, v'yatiku ha'umais la'atzmon teresh b'chsav, and as a result, the fact that the Jews are going to be in such close proximity with the Goyim are going to be in a position to share some of what the Jews have. So that this written Torah that the Jews have, the Goyim are going to be able to get hold of it. Therefore, al kein nosan lanu teresh b'al peh. Therefore, Hashem gave us a teresh b'al peh. Sheze einam yecheilam lahatik, that they cannot document. They cannot write it down. Why machmashehu b'al peh? Because it is b'al peh. Because it was given over by word of mouth. It wasn't committed to writing. They can't just xerox it or mimeograph it. She nimtza. So what do we see from this? She ikar hahevdol v'hayisrael shel Yisrael al huma. That the main distinction and addition, the main mila that the Jews have, the main advantage that the Jews have over the Goyim, is in this Torah Shebal Peh, in the part who bechinas Torah Shebal Peh shalai niten lichtoiv. V'yesh b'chol echod v'echod miYisrael chelik mebechinas Torah Shebal Peh shalai niten lichtoiv. Just as we say that the word Yisrael makes up the Rosh Tevois yesh shishim ribui oisyes la'Tayra, that each and every single Yid has a letter in the Torah Shebichsav, so too we must say, it must follow suit, that each and every Yid has his portion in the Torah Shebal Peh. Therefore, v'al kein, and therefore, mi shemakir ben ha-Torahs, one who knows how to differentiate between the different Torahs, shenitnu lichtoiv v'shleinitnu lichtoiv, the ones that are to be written down, the ones that are not permitted to be written down, who yochay lahakir ben Yisrael l'umais, he can distinguish and differentiate between a Yid and Lahavdil other nations, ki ze ikar hevdelom kanal, because that's the main distinction in the Torah Shebal Peh. Ad kan l'shoinoi b'simen chof ches kanal. This is the wording of Rabbeinu Zal in that chapter 28 over there in the Kutimran Tanina. This is a printer's mistake here, obviously. Kuf ches, it's really chof ches. Paragraph Hey. Rav Nosson Zal says, "V'ze bechinas Rosh Hashanah v'yom Kip v'yom Kippurim v'chol avodasenu b'yomim hohem ad shmini atzeres v'simchas Torah." Now, Rav Nosson Zal is going to show how what we discussed here so far corresponds to what the Arizal, the picture that the Arizal gives us of what we're supposed to accomplish on Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, extending through Sukkot, shmini atzeres, simchas Torah. Rav Nosson Zal explains now, ki avodaseinu b'Rosh Hashanah v'chulu ad shmini atzeres hakol lahokim v'livnois es bechinas malchus. If you look in your siddur, let's forget Sifrei Kabbalah, look in your siddur, you will observe that starting from Rosh Hashanah, the word that's being emphasized and underlined and highlighted the most in all the tefillos and all the avodah of Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and extending through Sukkos. We're zeroing in on this term, Melech. HaMelech HaKodosh, Malchios. You know, super, super emphasis on heightening the Melech, the Malchus of Hashem. Shehu Bechinas Emuna Kiyadua, which corresponds with the term Emuna, as is known. We've mentioned this many times, but let's just insert it over here, that the term Malchus and Emuna are synonymous. Excuse me. How do we know this? Because the attribute of faith, faith is something which has nothing of its own. In itself, it's an empty item, sort of. It's empty. It doesn't have any light to it. It doesn't have any wisdom in it. Faith is only in something that you don't understand. Just as a king is one, or the attribute called kingdom is something which has nothing of its own. It receives from outside sources. It's only by other people designating an individual as being king, they're the ones who make him king. There's nothing about himself that makes him a king. It's people assuming, designating to him that authority to rule over them, that leadership, that's what makes him king. That's one of the proofs that's brought to show the association between Malchus and Emunah, and there are many, many, many other ones. Rav Moshe Zal explains, Ki Iker Hiskalus Malchusa Yisporach, the main revelation of the kingdom of Hashem, Lehisvada Ulehigalois Ki Hashem Yisporach Umelech Al Koloretz, to notify people and to reveal that Hashem is the king over the whole world, Umanhig, and he rules, Umashkiach, and he supervises, Ba'iloma, in his world, Bechol Yisporega, every single second, it's impossible to really present that without faith. Because with our intellect, it is literally impossible for us to be able to fathom the possibility of a being that's able to monitor all the infinite number of activities that are going on in this world simultaneously within the human kingdom, animal kingdom, plant kingdom, the ecology, the who knows what. We cannot physically fathom with our human intellect such an item. So with Seichel, there's no way to fathom Hashem, to grasp Hashem. And we can't understand the behavior of Hashem. There are many things about the way Kaviyoch Hashem behaves and conducts the world that we don't understand. In other words, the Pasuk says that just as the difference between heaven and earth, so vast the difference is there between the way Hashem does business and we do business. As the Gemara shows many, many times, the Gemara has that famous expression, that Hashem is very not similar to the human way, to human behavior. Hashem's manner of behaving is very different from human behavior. Al kein, therefore, Iker his galus malchusay memshaltai, the main revelation of Hashem's kingdom and rulership, while yidei emuna, is only through faith. Ki bechinas malchus hu emuna kemuva, because kingdom is faith, as is brought in Sifrei Kabbalah. These two are listed as being synonymous. Again, another proof we'll throw out. The eretz miskayma maloi, the land stood him up. Miskayim is at bechina of malchus, shchon eretz, ura'ei emuna. Eretz is emuna, eretz is malchus. There are many, many proofs to show that emuna and malchus are synonymous. Vizeh kol avoida seinu b'Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur Shmini Atzeres. This is our whole avoida from Rosh Hashanah, beginning on Rosh Hashanah, extending through Yom Kippur, through Shmini Atzeres and Simchas Torah, lenaser ule velivnois bechinas malchus emuna shetihye bebechinas ponim beponim kemavur bekavonus. To slice and build up the malchus, which is the faith, and to make it face-to-face, as is explained in the Kisvei Arizal. Now, Rav Nosson Zal, in about 5 or 10 places in the Likutei Halachos, quotes this section, the Kisvei Arizal, where it discusses this concept, that just as when Hashem first created Adam and Chava, they were created as Siamese twins, joined back to back. They were hooked up back to back. The hookup was where they were both not facing each other. And in order for Chava to be able to become anything, to be able to function, to be able to be meiled, to produce, it necessitated, kaviyochol, Hashem placing a sleep over Chava, over this being called Adam and Chava at that time. Hashem placed a tardema over them. During that tardema, Hashem kaviyochol sliced. There was a nasira, a cutting, which severed the tie which kept these two, Adam and Chava, together back to back, and allowed them to be able to turn to face each other, face to face, to be able to mate, to be able to reproduce. That's how the whole Kiyum Ha'olam was brought about. So too, Kaviyochol, Kaviyochol, as if we could say, there is a similar concept in heaven by Hashem and Kaviyochol, the heavenly bride, the Shekhinah. It's brought, those that are familiar with self-defense tactics know that if you ever have two people that are being attacked by a team of people, by a group of people, where the odds are stacked against them, one of the safest ways for the two people to function is if they line themselves up back to back, their backs are constantly facing and just about touching each other, and they take on their opposition in this manner. What this provides is, when a person is fighting a multiple enemy, the main danger is getting attacked from the back. In front of you, supposedly, is that you can handle the best. What's behind you, that's your weakest point. If you eliminate your behind, if you eliminate the term behind, then you're protected all around. So this is why you stand back to back and you fight the enemy that way, and it's very difficult for them to be able to get at you. You have that advantage. Lahavdol, the Arizal brings, that whenever there is a hiskabrus of klipos, whenever the Shechina, the Nukva, the Malchus, isn't strong enough, Rachmona Litzlan, and it's in danger from these klipos, because of that, kaviyochol, Hashem starts off hooking up the Malchus, the Shechina, with its heavenly husband in this form of being back-to-back. What this does is, from the Achirayim of the Shekhinah, from the Ocher of the Shekhinah, from the Ocher of the Malchus, that would be the easiest, super easy place for the Klipos to latch onto. The Malchus itself is very susceptible. The back of the Malchus is super susceptible. Therefore, how does Hashem deal with that? He eliminates the back of the Malchus. How? By hooking up Zeranpin and Malchus back to back, Ocher b'Ocher, now there is no back. Now the Shekhinah, the Nukva, is protected. At least that back is eliminated. However, that's no good, that's not enough. That serves as a temporary protection. That doesn't resolve the problem. If and when the Jews do something super spectacular, they're able to affect this nesira, this cutting. First, what has to take place is a sleep, a tardema. There has to be issued a tardema, a sleep. Then there's this severance, this cutting, this slicing down at the part of the back where the two are joined together, allowing the nukva to separate and to turn around so that the two now become joined together, ponim beponim, face to face. The female, kaviyochol, the heavenly female and male, are joined face to face, where now there can be a mating. The Arizal says, when does this procedure take place? Rosh Hashanah. Why? The Arizal says one of the reasons why this holiday is called Rosh Hashanah is Miloshin Shena. The word Shana here means Shena. Each and every single Rosh Hashanah, there is this Durmita, this thick sleep, Kaviyochol, that's placed on the heavenly Duchra Nukva, whereby they're thrown. The term Rosh Hashanah implies a Shena, a deep sleep that's put onto them. And during that sleep, via our avodas on Rosh Hashanah, there are specific mitzvahs, the Arizal shows, that affect this nesira, this slicing, of severing the tie between the Malchus and its Baal, that keep it back to back, allowing them to come together. Once this takes place, what has to be done? They have to wake up, be woken up in order to function. That's the significance of the Tkiya Shofar on Rosh Hashanah. That's those trumaitas, that blasting, those trumpets blasting is what are supposed to affect the waking up of this Shechina Imbala. Now that it's been placed into this sleep and the severance has been done, now in order for there to be any mating, they have to wake up to mate. That's the blasting of the Shofar that arouses them. That's Uru Yeshenim Mishnaschem V'Yeshonim Yiter Damaschem. Wake up those that were put into this Tardema for a purpose. There was a purpose for the Tardema. There's reasons, Seidus, as to why this can only take place during a time of sleep. This is basically, Rav Moshe Zalman, in a few places in Likutei Halachos, is kind enough to quote these sections in the Kisvei Arizal for us and to simplify it, where we can understand conceptually what takes place in Shemayim, part of what takes place in Shemayim on the Yontif of Rosh Hashanah. This is what he's going to touch on here now, and he's going to explain how this relates to Teresh HaBechsav and Teresh HaBalpeh. Rav Nosson Zal says now, V'ikor ha'emuna nimsheches al yidei ha'tera ha'gdoisho shekibalnu bechsav u'balpeh. This malchus, for which we're substituting a synonym called emuna, faith, where does this emuna draw its nourishment, its sustenance, its chiz from? From the Torah, the dual Torah, the Torah shebichsav and the Torah shebalpeh. Kemoi shekosav, as is written clearly in Tehillim, kol mitzvoisecho emuna, that emuna draws from Kol mitzvoisecha, from the Torah. Emuna draws from the Torah. Ukemoshe Kosvan is written in the Gemara in Makkos, when somebody wanted to sum up the whole Torah, how did they sum it up? Bo Chavakuk v'hemidon alachas v'tzadik b'munos ha'yichye. Chavakuk Hanovi summed up all 613 mitzvahs of the Torah on one, v'hemidon alachas. He pointed them to one item, that the purpose of all 613 mitzvahs is to feed this one item called emuna. V'ikr shleimus emuna hu al yidei b'chinas teresh shebal peh. The main shleimus of faith in Hashem is only brought out through the Torah shebal peh, the oral Torah shebozeh ikr ahevdol shel Yisrael al umos kanal. That's the main distinction between the Yidden and lahavdol the goyim. Ki be'emes, because in truth gam ho umos kulam yesh lahem emuna b'Hashem yisparach bi'atzmoi. Even the goyim have faith in Hashem Himself. Even those that worship idols, or they fell into other types of disbelief in Hashem, in specific aspects of Hashem's conduct with the world, still, they do believe in a concept of a Hashem, a spiritual being, sheyesh yochid, there is an individual, nimtza hamachuyev Hashem Yisborach, there is this yochid nimtza hamachuyev Yisborach Shemai, there is this heavenly being, this exalted being, ukamay shekosav, and as the pasuk says, b'chol mokoyim muktor u'mugosh l'shmi, that every place that they're bringing sacrifices, even in the crutches, even in the places of idol worship, even there, Hashem says, they're actually worshiping me. Vamra Zal in the Gemara says, Dekorile eloko de elokaya. Because the fact is that even the goyim refer to Hashem, they believe in idols, but they believe in a super being that's above the idols. They call Hashem the eloko de elokaya, the Hashem of all Hashems. Does anybody remember? We once told over a spectacular chiddush from the Shiloh HaKadosh that illustrates this point in reality, even in the Torah, even in our Torah. What is Hashem's most basic name of Malchus? We're talking here Malchus, Emuna. Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, which is pronounced A, Do, and then Noi. Now the question is, the Shiloh HaKadosh says, does that word have any meaning in a dictionary, in a Hebrew dictionary? It's meaningless. There's no such thing. There's Adoni, which means my master. There's Adonai, which means my master's plural. In the Hebrew language, there is should not be any valid word called Ado and then Noi. Komatz, no such thing. The Shlakir says, you know what that means? The term as we understand it, Ado and then Noi, is actually a mix and merge. It's a combination of Adoni, Adonai. It is my master of masters. It's Hashem. In other words, each one of us, Rabbi Nisal brings in Tarnun, Vamalei Kodaman, everyone has a Bechin of Malchus. Each one of us has a boas. Lahavdil, those bozos, the mob, the Cosa Nostra, has the concept of boss of bosses. That's Adoni, Adonai. In other words, we're talking about an individual, a melech, melech malchei hamlochim. That's what Hashem's called. That's what the Shlach, that's how the Shlach Kodesh teaches this Shem Aleph Dalet Nun Yud as we perceive it. Rabbeinu Zal is here saying that even the Goyim Lahavdil have this concept of Eloko de Elokayo. You understand? Because in the essence of faith in Hashem, all admit to it. Even Lahavdil the Goyim admit to it. Rak sheb'protius emuna. It's just when it comes to the specifics of emuna as we understand it. Lahamin shehu yisporach manig hoylam kiritzaynoi. In believing that Hashem conducts, that nothing in this world takes place without Hashem wanting it to. Umashkiach boi bashkocho protius. That Hashem himself supervises every single iota, minuscule thing that takes place in this world. No intermediaries, none of that guess, none of that nonsense. The chol hashinuim sheboilam, and every change that's affected in this world. The chol mashinasa boilam cholis vorega, and everything that takes place in this world at any time or any moment, hakoil al yota yisporach, all is executed by Hashem himself. Kigam hateva biatzmo hu manig bertzani yisporach. Even what we know to be nature is something which Hashem himself is pulling all the strings. Hashem hu ho elokim. Elokim is bigamatria hateva. Hashem is hateva. In other words, there's no such separate being called nature. Chas v'shalom. Be'inyin zeh heim nevuchem b'dei ha'isores. It's in that aspect that they're all mixed up, these goyim. U'kfirois g'dayleis. They're mixed up in confusion and strange ideas and kfirois and disbelief. Ad shemachmazen imtsoim b'neim k'tzas k'yifrim gemurim. Where as a result of all the confusion, the mishka babel that their religions look like, that's what allowed the possibility of a couple of total loony birds coming about who really are atheists. That bozo term called atheist, a total non-believer, those are the exception. Those are very, very few, which came about only as a result of this total cholent that the Goyim invented. They turned religion into a cholent, so you're able to have a few people who won't accept it at all. But basically, even among the Goyim, all agree on a concept of a deity, you know, a single Hashem, who's at least, in other words, even if they have Avodah Zarah, at least they acknowledge a concept of a boss of bosses, you know, a boss over all the idols. Avalheim betelem b'miyutam, but the atheists or the agnostics, they're butl b'miyut. In other words, they're a very, very minor fraction of the public, of the quantity of people. Kihem mevuzim b'neim ba'atzmom kiklovim, because they, even among the goyim, they look down at these atheists and agnostics like dogs. That's how low they consider. Even the Goyim will have respect for a crutch, that kind of thing, any concept of worship. To them, an atheist is a complete zero. He's a dog, you know, that kind of term. V'kula mecharfim oisam, and they all insult these atheists and agnostics. V'hakol moedim bikur ha'emuna bo yisporach, and all basically acknowledge the basic concept of a deity of Hashem, kimavura bahasforim shemevin deoseim, as is explained in the Sforim that quote the opinions of the Goyim, which Rav Moshe Zal was obviously familiar with. Avlanachnu b'nei Yisrael, but we, Lahavdil, the Jewish nation, hivdilonu hu yisporach min atoyim, Hashem has separated us from these who are mistaken, these who are wandering lost. And Hashem has given us a true Torah in writing and orally. Ve'onu zeiche lemuna shleima b'chol abachinois. And we are zeiche to complete faith in all its aspects. Ki onu maminim b'yisporach. We believe in Him Hashem, v'shekol hanhoga soilem b'chol eis, hakoil al yodi yisporach. And that every iota of what happens in this world is only via Hashem. Kemoi shekosev, as the Pasuk says, v'ato mechaye eskulam. You, Hashem, yourself, without any intermediaries, give life to every single thing that takes place in this world. And as is written, you, Hashem, rule over everything. The last letters of Ato Moshe Bakoel make up this name, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, which is Melech, Adni, Odon, Moshe, Melech. That's our concept of Hashem's Malchus, that He really rules over everything.